thought we had great at-bats all day. I thought we had a lot of hard outs. Gave ourselves a chance and quite a few of the innings.
All right, hour number three on 104.3 The Score. Judson Richards back here with you. That was Michael Busch on a lot of great at-bats. I say with a question mark because the Cubs ultimately were 4-for-19 with runners in scoring position. It was, it was like a game and then it was not a game. It was 8-4 at one point. And the first half of the season last year for the Cubs, a team that won 92 games, remember all those thrilling comebacks? And I was like, are we gonna do that again? Are we going to start this already for game one? And then the Cubs somewhat just kind of finished out the game with a 10-4 loss. So we've talked plenty about your Cubs opener. We also have to get to the Nico Hoerner news and contract extension in just a moment. Our phone lines are open. Open to the north and south side, by the way. If we got any Southsiders, any White Sox fans that want to sound off what happened today, Chicago baseball on an opening day. I have not dug through the box scores to find out like what would be the combination of the biggest lopsided losses in Chicago baseball history. But the Cubs and White Sox combined lost 24-6. So the Nationals beat the Cubs 10-4. And then the White Sox had a very interesting day. They lost 14-2. It was also a very record-setting day in a couple of different areas in Milwaukee as the White Sox lost to the Brewers. Now, Chase Meidroff homered for the White Sox to lead off the game. That is the first time the White Sox have ever had an opening day leadoff home run. In White Sox history, Chase Meidroff did that. So it's like, well, here we go. All right. The White Sox win 70-plus games. By the end of the game, they struck out 20 times. So Jacob Mizorowski and four Milwaukee relievers collected 20 strikeouts. And that is the most in Brewers history. The Brewers tie the Major League Baseball record with 20 strikeouts against the White Sox. And so that's how things started for the Southsiders. Now, I will say, Moody Murakami hit an absolute bomb. He had a couple walks, hit a bomb like that swing that you kind of looked up online or on X when the White Sox signed him. You're like, oh, that's a cool-looking swing. Like, you talk about launch angle. I mean, that is one impressive launch angle with the way that he uppercuts in his swing. He hit a big, big fly. So Meidroth homered in the first and Mooney homered in the ninth. And then in between there, they struck out 20 times to tie a Major League Baseball record. That's how the things went on the South Side. As for the Cubs were just kind of flat. You know, I don't know if it's the pomp and circumstance. Like, the Nationals were kind of playing with house money. That's a silly thing to say in game one. It's not a meaningless game. It certainly feels like it has much more meaning for the Cubs, who are supposed to get back to and perhaps pass a divisional round. And then they just kind of rolled out there and got pushed around. Cade Cavalli, the starter for the Nationals, didn't pitch in 2023 and 2024 due to arm injuries. So he's only pitched in 2022 and 2025, I think totaled 11 starts. He looked much more comfortable than Matthew Boyd, who got hit around. But we've been asking you, the ceiling for the Cubs, who has to have a career year for them to reach it? 312-644-6767. Cubs fans have not been angry tonight. I've been surprised. There hasn't really been a lot of feelings about the Cubs tonight, and I've been very, very surprised. Like, that was an ugly opening day for a team that's supposed to win 90, 91, 92, 93 wins. I don't know. Maybe you've just thought, no, they're not going to. Maybe you thought, oh, this is exactly what I thought. I don't know. 312-644-6767. Tyler and I have both been surprised by the lack of reaction by Cubs fans on the phones tonight after losing 10-4 for a home opener. Can I be honest, too? I've been really, really looking forward to opening day. I have felt a tremendous lull in sports coming out of that Bears season. You know, it's like, you know, the drug of Caleb Williams throwing these miraculous touchdown passes, you know, like the needle to the vein of all of these 2-minute come from behind victories. They had 7 of them, seven of them to set a record, trailing with 2 minutes to go or less. And the Bears season, the Super Bowl was a bore to me.
Maybe this is what it's like to feel the ultimate highs, like the peaks. Now we're like, oh, we're back down to kind of earth. It kind of resets.
I guess the Bears have had so many uninteresting years, but this wasn't even interesting. This was legitimately thrilling. The Bears could win a Super Bowl, and you would never have a season as unique as the one that we just had. Everyone out there knows this. This isn't breaking news. We all live this together. I was fortunate enough. I did 5 hours. That was you and me, Tyler. We did 5 hours on Sunday morning after that win against the Green Bay Packers in the wild card round. That overtime victory, right? Like that. That's some of the most fun I've ever had. We just
ran. And I was on like 3 hours of sleep. I was so high from that win. Not like literally high, but you know what I mean. So emotionally high after that win.
Same. Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
I think I got up at 3 o'clock hour to come in. You know, we went on at 7, but I was still trying to get caught up like with all the things we needed to do. So you and I, we were just here. We were just talking to people like that. I mean, that was thrilling. I say all that to say I've been excited for opening day to try to get a little something going. Like the combine isn't fun when Caleb Williams he's backpedaling 50 yards and finding Cole Kmet in the back of the end zone. So I was expecting the Cubs or the White Sox to give me a little something. You know what bothered me most about today out of Wrigley Field? That crowd was so ready to absolutely erupt. I mean, just erupt. And the Cubs didn't really give us that moment. Like, they didn't give, you know, they didn't give the, I think some of the biggest crowds was during introductions, whether it was for PCA or for Alex Bregman, right? Like, it's like having a fat check and you don't cash it. Like, the Cubs didn't allow to really cash in on what Wrigley Field was ready to deliver today. And damn it, I've needed to hear some of that and feel some of that after that Bears season. There's been a little bit of numbness. It's like, who cares about the combine?
Even though it's not going to be opening day, do you think if the Cubs win and Cade Horton's debut on Saturday, we're going to start to feel that, oh, Cubs season is here, that, you know, pitcher of the future, hopefully for the team, gave us a great outing. Now the season is really underway. This team has kind of kicked it into gear a little bit.
Well, I hope so. The Nationals are supposed to suck. That's the problem. Like, you know, the pacoda for the Cubs is 89 wins. The pacoda for the Nationals is 67, and they won 66 games last year. Right? Like, you know, we're talking about I wrote it down in my notes as James Weaver. His name is Joey. Why don't I know that? Because I don't know who Joey Weimer is. I don't know Jacob Young. I know C.J. Abrams, he's a really good player, and he did things today. I don't know, what was it, Brady House, the other guy that homered? Right, like, can I get a household name to homer for the Cubs? You know, they got outslugged today. That, I think that, you know, that's what bothered me. And the Nationals, another storyline we should look at, too, is like, the Brewers, they trade away Peralta. And then the day that the season begins, their best position player is out for 2 to 4 weeks in Jackson Churio. Did it look to bother them at all? No. I know they beat the White Sox. But good teams beat bad teams. Brewers, good team, beat bad team White Sox. The Cubs, supposed to be the good team, they did beat the bad team, the Nationals. Am I overreacting game one of 162? Maybe, but it should make a little bit more sense when I compare it to me trying to get past the downward spiral I've felt of trying to feel something as a sports fan after what the Bears delivered. That's what it comes down to. And not to bury the lead, by the way, because the Cubs' biggest story isn't the 10-4 loss, which typically is on an opening day, but the big news for the Cubs is contract extension reportedly for one Nico Hoerner. Nico Hoerner, who has earned every ounce of it, has been on a very, very team-friendly deal of 3 years and $35 billion. Nico Hoerner, reportedly a 6-year, $100+ million deal to remain with the Cubs. Let's hear from Nico. Again, we don't have sound on Nico yet reacting to this. I believe he still has to get through that physical. But let's hear from Nico talking about Pecro Armstrong's contract embracing Chicago.
Pete's contract has been out there. What are your thoughts on that? And, you know, everybody in here deserves a lot. How do you look at it?
I look at it as an amazing opportunity for the player and the team. You know, I hope both are incredibly happy. Both should be. You know, he's someone that's embraced Chicago as a whole, everything that he has. And, you know, we can project what Pete's going to be like as a player with this and that. But at the end of the day, you have someone that passionately cares about winning and wants to impact the game every single day. And, you know, through the great times last year, through challenging times, he worked incredibly hard throughout. And I believe in him a lot.
So that was Nico Horner on the Pecro Armstrong contract. And by the way, everything that the PCA said, I think Nico, as far as embracing the city, being a great teammate, Nico has done everything that you'd want off the field. He also was doing everything on the field. Nico had 297 last year, 7 home runs, 29 steals, 61 RBIs. He hit, do you know this number? Do you know what he hit in runners in scoring position, Tyler? Baby T, you want to take a guess?
Batting average with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
310.
371.
Holy cow.
Yeah, exactly. 371. Won the gold glove for second baseman. Finished 19th in MVP voting. I know that's, you know, 18 away, but still, like, give the man his due. In the postseason, by the way, he hit 419 in the postseason. Nico had a 6.2 war. He had a 5.5 war in 2023. Here's another thing about Nico. Because this is what Craig Counsell said before the game. He said, quote, "I think Nico can grow. I'm optimistic he's going to be better. He has the ability to drive the ball a little more. I think that's ready to show up." So, Nico, one of the reasons why he isn't, and again, $100+ million deal, but I think one of the reasons why he may just take the money instead of just hitting free agency and allowing a bidding war is because he doesn't hit a lot of home runs. One of the reasons why he isn't more of a national name is because he doesn't hit a lot of home runs. Nico has been working on something that he had a problem with last year. He can't keep his back foot under him. His back foot tends to slide at point of contact. So you do not have your full base. If Nico Horner has his full base underneath him, like, who looks at Nico and says, that guy doesn't look strong? Nico is a well-built individual. And so if he has his feet underneath him, like, there's a reason why Craig Counsell is saying that. It's not just simply he's trying to be positive for a player. I think they probably have evidence of the adjustments that he's made in his swing that's going to allow him to have more power. And that ultimately would mean a lot more for the Cubs. To the game today, 10-4 final. What happened? Matthew Boyd ran out of gas. Let's hear from Matthew Boyd of what happened in his outing today. 6 earned runs through 3 and 2/3. Did not allow 6 earned one time last year. It happened today.
Felt really good. Felt really good all day. You know, just it was executing pitches and whatnot. And then just 4th inning, honestly, I just needed to make an adjustment faster, and that, you know, I wasn't able to, and, you know, that's kind of the story of the game. You know, unfortunately, that was the difference maker, gave them a big enough lead to kind of roll with it, and that's, you know, that's just on me. I got to make an adjustment faster, and, you know, I'll be better from it, but, yeah, it's unfortunate.
You know, Matthew Boyd today, you know who he reminded me of a little bit? He reminded me a little bit of Shota Imanaga and his struggles. Shota's struggles a lot of times have to simply do with velocity. That velocity dips and you just become more hittable. Matthew Boyd was electric through the first 3 innings. I mean, this was an impressive start. Like, he looked unhittable early on. Look at these numbers. Matthew Boyd generated 20 swings and misses on 37 swings. That is 4 more than his single game high in 2025. That was your all-star. He also allowed an average exit velocity of 98.6 miles per hour and 7 batted balls over 95 miles per hour. So when they got to him, they slugged him. They hit him badly. He went from 94.4 miles per hour in that first inning to 92.8. Doesn't sound like a lot. It is a lot. It is a lot in Major League Baseball. He ran out of gas. He ran out of gas, and Ben Brown wasn't able to come in and give long relief and somewhat slam the door and make it a close game. I just, you know, for a team that's been projected to expect to be better, want to be better, what I perceive to be a better roster than last year, they just look flat. They look flat. They'll get a day off tomorrow. Like, they need it. You know, this is baseball. You just play and play and play and play. But that Matthew Boy outing, 35 years old, the amount of innings he threw last year, if you like to say, just one game, okay. If you like to be concerned about little things, he's 35 years old. Let's hear from Craig Counsell on Matthew Boyd's outing. We'll get to that one in just a moment. Baby T will find it any second now on what Craig Counsell had to say about that outing. No? I thought we timed it up perfect as my voice cut out. Come on, Baby T. Did we not have that one? It was there.
The idea that when you leave spring training, pitchers are ready, but sometimes they're not ready. In other words, they've thrown a certain amount of pitches a certain amount of times, but maybe not always to the point where they're season ready. Do you buy into that at all?
I don't know. I mean, I thought, you know, Matt was pretty sharp to start the game. You know, I thought the game fell apart pretty fast on him. I mean, that's what happened today. I'm not sure if that has to do with the first start of the season or not. I don't know.
It is kind of Craig Counsell's job to know, but I think he probably just didn't want to give up that information. The text line, this is from the 414. I have to say that was a disappointing opening day. I'm a big Matthew Boyd fan. I think he's such a great guy, but I am concerned that something isn't right. He wasn't sharp in spring training or the WBC, and then today was a mixed bag. I'm not sure this is going to be the kind of season we hope it'll be. I hope I'm wrong, but at this point, things don't look promising. Here's what I can promise you. You got 161 games to go, and Cade Horton is on the mound on Saturday, a game you'll hear right here on 104.3 The Score. We can get back to the automated balls and strike system. A lot of reaction on that. Some loved it. Some hated it. What do you think of Major League Baseball going back to more instant replay and ABS? We'll get into that coming up next.
Let's get back to more Judson Richards on 104.3 The Score.
All right, happy opening day to everybody out there. If you're a Cubs fan or Sox fan, may not have been the most memorable opening days, but most importantly, we have cracked open the seal, or we have removed the seal, cracked open Major League Baseball season, and we are off and running. A terrible analogy for me, but that's okay. He's Tyler Farrengo holding it down. On the other side of the glass, we do have this to tell you. In NCAA March Madness, Sweet 16, Iowa has beaten Nebraska 77-71. So the winner of Illinois-Houston coming up at 9 o'clock this evening will play Iowa in the Elite Eight. Number 3, Illinois versus number 2, Houston. We did talk to Ryan Baker of CBS Chicago at 7:45 tonight. He didn't say it sounded like the place was going to be overrun by Houston Cougars fans. Again, this is a game being played just 2 miles from the campus of the University of Houston. But we'll see what it looks like and sounds like. And Brad Underwood, a great quote he had. He said, listen, I'm an old JUCO coach. That means junior college. So he's not making any excuses. This should be a tremendous game upcoming. Again, whoever wins it, Illinois or Houston, they will go up against the Iowa Hawkeyes. So potentially could have a Big Ten Elite Eight matchup between Illinois and Iowa. One note on that game, by the way, I saw this stat. I couldn't believe it. For, you know, how can Illinois beat Houston? How about this for Keaton Wagler? He's going to face he has faced an AP top five opponent. This will be the fifth time this season. In Wagler's four previous games versus top five opponents, he averaged 25 points on 54% field goal shooting, 61% three-point field goal shooting, including 46 points at number 4 Purdue on January 24th. Big game, Keaton. should be his nickname. It'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. You know, all the pundits continue to say is if it's a dogfight, right, if it's a brutal physical game, it goes to Houston. If it's more of a skill game, if it's more of, you know, a stylistic game, then the favor goes to Illinois. The more I hear that, the more I know that Illinois has heard that, and the more I think potentially Illinois could win a physical game. And Illinois is not a small team by any means. Illinois is bigger than the Bulls. They've got a good number of players 6'9 and above, more so than the Bulls. So I think Illinois has got a great chance. Again, if you're watching any previews about this game, oh, if it's chaotic game, it goes to Houston. If it's, you know, a highly technical game, then it goes to Illinois. I will say, if the officiating is called straight up, not even overly blown whistles, if it's called kind of straight, Illinois definitely has a better chance to win. If they let it just be a bloodbath of contact, it could be Houston. But Houston's got a very short bench, so if they get him into some foul trouble, this should be a great game coming up tonight. Pretty impressive. Two of the last 3 years back in the Sweet 16 from the University of Illinois. Did anybody watch the Netflix baseball? Did anybody watch any part of it? Here's a little sample. Here's Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston was part of the Netflix opening day broadcast between the San Francisco Giants and the New York Yankees.
Heisman Trophy winner Jameis Winston, who's hanging out at the Crazy Crab here at Oracle Park. I'm going to address the elephant in the room. Jameis, did you pay for the crab legs? Or?
Well, Elle, I may or may not be plotting to find ways to get some fresh crab legs, but a trusted source told me that ever since Barry Bonds retired from the San Francisco Giants, that sales have skyrocketed due to the decrease of baseball-related crab deaths.
A joke of Barry Bonds hitting the ball into the water. That gives you an idea of what was happening of Netflix. That's how much they wanted to talk about baseball, where Jameis Winston was, and that was Elle Duncan, who left ESPN, and she's kind of the lead host for a lot of Netflix sports. Did you know, Tyler Ferengul? Because I'm like, how many games of this absurd broadcast? I actually thought Matt Vasgersian, Hunter Pence, and CeCe Sabathia, for the little bit I watched, were pretty good. And I thought that the panel of Anthony Rizzo, Barry Bonds, and Albert Pujols is a pretty good panel to talk baseball. As big of a jerk as Barry Bonds is, it doesn't mean that I wouldn't love to hear him talk hitting a baseball. We're going to hear more from Anthony Rizzo in just a moment. But they had taxi cabs for the Yankees with women dancing, and then they may have had male dancers too. I don't know. It was so weird. And then they had a trolley car on the field for the Giants side with people dancing again. It's like, what is this? What is this bizarre pomp and circumstance? So I'm like, how many games of Netflix baseball am I going to have to watch? They have the home run derby. Did you know that, baby T?
I did not.
Netflix has a home run derby. And the other game that they have, do you want to guess?
It's not the All-Star game?
It is not. I do not know as the All-Star game. I guess it's still Fox. They have the Field of Dreams game.
I was, you know what? Oh. It was just in the background. I'm like, what is there a special? Oh, that's it. It's back this year.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to remind me of the game, though. Like, who are the two teams playing?
That I don't know.
All right. You know what?
I managed to Google that. Although I may not watch it if it's on Netflix. It just was so extra. It was so incredibly extra. Where one of the things about baseball right now is baseball's done some incredible things to make the game just better. Like, the game wasn't broken. The pace of play was kind of broken. Steroids kind of broke it. Then the juice ball era kind of broke it. And now we're just in a good place where baseball is really starting to figure itself out. In fact, I think the ABS, I think the automated balls and strikes, is a fantastic addition to Major League Baseball. You're going to weigh in on that, 312-644-6767. I just don't need, like, if Netflix wants to deliver me a baseball game with that pregame crew, great. If they want to give me Vasgersian and CeCe Sabathia and Hunter Pence, now those guys seem player-specific, and it's the only game they have all year, great. I just, baseball needs to be recognized as taking a good hard look at itself in the mirror and saying, where can we get better? How can we get better? Mainly with the pitch clock. And Theo Epstein has a ton to do with it. I was more embarrassed for Netflix and whatever they were trying to do. They had WWE guys. Bert Kreischer was out there screaming for the Open. I guess they had to get commercials in for make goods that they didn't get in for Christmas NFL games. Do you have the info on the next Field of Dream game? Dreams?
It is. And it's a very interesting interleague matchup between the Phillies and the Twins.
Mm.
Don't really get that a whole lot.
The Phillies and the Twins.
Phillies and the Twins.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Man.
White Sox Yankees in 21, very thrilling with that home run. And as a Cubs fan, saying that next year did not back up that 2021 game when Tim Anderson hit that walk-off home run. The game wasn't exciting.
Is Tim Anderson on a team? I'm Googling it now.
All right.
I mean, you talk about
falling off the face of the earth.
I need that Netflix documentary, whoever's going to give it to me. Yeah, I don't see him. He definitely didn't play today as I looked at his stats.
Yeah, it said he has previously played for the White Sox, Marlins, and Angels.
Timothy Devon Anderson Jr. is a free agent.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a free agent. That could be a wrap. Let's hear more from Anthony Rizzo. I thought that the Marquee Sports Network and the Cubs, I'm a credit Marquee. I don't know if this is a Cubs product or a Marquee product. I think it's Marquee. He did a voiceover for a narration of getting us pumped for the game today. I feel like they should have played it in the clubhouse and maybe they'll get a little bit more out of the Cubs. You know, a lot of times they do the reunions. Don't need to tell White Sox fans after 2005 and it being the 20-year reunion last year. Even the Bears in 1985, the 40-year reunion. A lot of times you play these reunions and it seems like it comes up with ways to get people to watch. But this Cubs team is supposed to be one that should follow in the shoes or attempt to come close to what happened in 2016. Here is Anthony Rizzo, who made it from San Francisco last night to Wrigley Field today, found time to narrate this at some point.
Oh, and one more fun fact, too, before we go to it. Matt Vasgersian was calling Pirates Mets for NBC today. So he made the cross-country trip from San Fran to New York as well. Very, very interesting.
Way to go, Matty V. Here's Anthony Rizzo.
The Cubs have done it. The longest drought in the history of American sports is over.
Like a late summer afternoon, championship teams can cast a long shadow. It's only natural, really. We broke the longest World Series drought in MLB history, and we were certain to leave our mark. On the Cubs, on baseball, on the city of Chicago. It's been 10 years since Dex hit that leadoff homer.
And that ball is a home run!
Rossi ended his career with one unforgettable blast.
David Ross, in his last big league game, homers to dead center.
10 years since Jay inspired us during the rain delay. One more rally that even I couldn't believe.
Rizzo goes to third, double for Zobrist. Cubs lead 7-6.
10 years since that final out that I caught from KB. 10 years since the greatest parade this city has ever seen.
It happened, baby. It happened.
We won 103 games during the regular season. Down 3-1 in the World Series, we weren't worried. So many fans tell us it was a dream come true. Well, it was our dream too.
This is for so many people, Ernie Banks, Ron Santo, Billy Williams. It's been a century in the making, and no one deserves it more than Cub fans, Cub players, and Cubs organization.
I still remember that night as if it was yesterday. But it's been 10 years since that unforgettable Wednesday in Cleveland.
He will glove it through to Rizzo. It's in time.
And fans are asking, when will we do it again? Well, this just might be the year. Cubs are coming off a 2025 NLDS appearance, and I know this team is hungry for more.
The Cubs have won the ball game. They have won the National League Wild Card Series.
Thirsty for another ring. After all, the champagne doesn't taste as sweet unless it's the last game of the World Series.
Our goal was to lift up that trophy. I know that this experience, we're going to use it to our advantage.
Our shadows from 16 still remain, but we cannot wait to see new heroes in Cubs history.
Ball game! Cubs win! And he makes the catch. Unbelievable.
Game 1, 162. The road to another October run starts now.
Well, if only the game lived up a little bit to how sensational that was from Anthony Rizzo. All the feels, all the vibes, all the memories of what happened in 2016. And then you conjure that with, this might be the year to do it again, right? Like that, you know, that would make, as we go down the line of recognizing all the people that were a part of this and telling that story. I know that Anthony Rizzo is doing a podcast with David Ross, I think a 10-part series where they're going to have special guests and talk about it. You know what I want to see, Baby T? I want to see, as we head down this 10-year celebration of what the Cubs did 10 years ago, not only do I want to do it while in a pennant chase for the Cubs this year, I want to see Joe Maddon get more love at Wrigley Field. I want to see, not from the fans per se, but I mean back at Wrigley Field.
I feel like he's been around, but not in like the local eye. He's been more like around nationally, but as much like Chicago based. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, no, I watch him on MLB Network. Thanks to the great Bruce Levine, I've gotten to interview him on Inside the Clubhouse. I think the world of Joe Maddon.
I might have been producing for you guys that day that he was on, if I remember correctly.
It's awesome. And he's on pretty regularly because of the relationship he has with Bruce. Like, I've heard him on Inside the Clubhouse since I talked to him. I just think Theo Epstein, I think we all respect Theo Epstein's baseball acumen. And Theo Epstein said as soon as he thought or understood that Joe Maddon could be available, he had to go get him. He had to have him. And Theo was right. Of all the moves that Theo made, I don't think they win it without Joe Maddon. Joe Maddon was the perfect man to keep that team loose, trying to do something that hadn't been done in 108 years. From everything that he did, right? Knowing exactly when to keep the moment loose, have the tough conversations. You know, Joe Maddon's, I think, greatest ability, besides understanding the game of baseball, is to also to communicate and read people. And so if we're going to do this, we got to really celebrate the man that put together that lineup each and every day, including that final moment against the then Cleveland Indians. I need to hear more from Joe Maddon. I need to see more recognition for Joe Maddon because I think it is absolutely deserved. But going back to that narration, Rizzo basically pointed at the 2026 Cubs and says it's on you now to do what we did, to then show up kind of flat for opening day. The weather held up well enough for the Nationals to homer three times. I don't want to hear anything about the weather. Cade Cavalli was able to pitch well enough where your all-star and got rocked for six earned runs, something that didn't happen one time last year. So, better get going. Better get going if you're going to win 90-plus games. 90's a lot. And it takes not only winning series, it takes beating teams that are supposedly less than. And hopefully that comes Saturday, a game you'll hear right here on 104.3 The Score. Cade Horton, I'm sure what a lot of people believe, should have been your Game 1 starter. He is your Game 2 starter, and he'll be going up against the Nationals on Saturday. There is a battle for the trademark Iceman between two Chicago stars. Have you heard this story? We'll tell you about it next.
Hey, Iceman, have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, final stop for us here. Judson Richards with you on 104.3 The Score. He is Tyler Farrengold on the other side of the glass there. Tyler, great job by you as always. Thanks for all of your hard work. Again, I want to thank our guest before I forget, the great Alex Cohen of the Marquee Sports Network. Join us in the 6 o'clock hour. Ryan Baker, live from Houston, Texas, joined us at 7:45. Ryan is covering, of course, the Sweet 16, the 3-seed Illinois taking on 2-seed University of Houston. That one's coming up just shortly. A 9 o'clock tip time. I actually had to Google, what time is it right now in Houston? They are on the central time zone like we are. I was like, are they on Pacific time? Like, why is it starting so late? No. It's just a 9 o'clock Chicago time start for the University of Illinois. Luckily, they are young. They are vibrant. And they're not as tired as I am. But whoever wins that game, Illinois or Houston, they will take on University of Iowa. Iowa beats Nebraska tonight. So potentially our Elite Eight matchup, if it is Illinois, we've got ourselves quite a Big Ten meetup between Illinois and Iowa. So that's what's happening in the Sweet 16. Also, the big news today, besides the woeful outcomes for both the Cubs and the White Sox. Cubs lose to the Nationals 10-4. Brewers beat the White Sox 14-2. But following the game, reportedly, Nico Hoerner has signed a 6-year contract extension. So the Cubs now have their entire infield locked up for a good number of years, from Michael Busch to Dansby Swanson to Alex Bregman to now Nico Hoerner. Much more on that to come tomorrow. I believe he has to pass a physical. 6 years, $100+ million. We still haven't had the PCA press conference. That's coming tomorrow. And something I would expect that you would hear right here on 104.3 The Score. Cubs are off tomorrow, back at it on Saturday. So Caleb Williams has trademarked Iceman. Meanwhile, George Gervin filed trademark applications for Iceman and Iceman 44 4 days after Caleb Williams submitted his own. Now, George Gervin, of course, a Chicago Bull, but did most of his damage with the San Antonio Spurs. Caleb, as great as he was last year, he'll be lucky to have the career that George Gervin had. Gervin, a 9-time NBA All-Star, 5-time All-NBA first team, a 4-time NBA scoring champ. The problem is George Gervin has never filed for the trademark Iceman 4 days afterwards. So he's behind Caleb. So Gervin noted in his paperwork that he first used the Iceman moniker for goods and services in 1979, 22 years before Williams was born. The president and CEO of Gervin Global Management told the Sun Times he wrongly believed Gervin had already trademarked the nickname and that the confusion stemmed from the death of a business associate. So if it's who gets there first,
Caleb beat him to the punch. I have to say.
Yeah, it kind of feels like it, right? Like, I don't know. Isn't filing for a trademark to be the first to get there?
You'd think.
Do we like the nickname Iceman for Caleb?
I do. Man, I honestly do.
I still see Val Kilmer in Top Gun, but that's, you know, that's the 90s kid in me. No matter what, Caleb's got ice in his veins. I'm going to need these baseball teams to play better so I don't miss football season so much. Right? That'll do it for us tonight. For Tyler Farengold, I'm Judson Richards. Go Illini. Have a wonderful rest of the night, everybody.